Okay, go to Luke. We're going, so go to Luke. Chapter 16. You know, there's a saying around. I don't know where it's around, but it's around. Hear it occasionally, and it says that the devil is in the details. You ever hear that saying?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, in some ways, it's true, because a lot of times people get beat in the little things of life. The devil will seize on the little things that we don't think are important or necessary or significant, and that's where we'll get cheated out of the blessings of God sometimes, because we think it's insignificant or unimportant. So in Luke chapter 16, there's a parable concerning the alleged unjust steward. You know, it says in my Bible, parable of the unjust steward. But actually, if you read the parable, he is proved not to be unjust. He is proved to be just. He was alleged or accused of being unjust. But we're just going to look at the last couple of verses here, where Jesus Christ speaks concerning what this is all about. And he says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in that, also in much.
What verse are we in?
Verse 10.
He
that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Unjust would be the opposite of faithful, right? So here Jesus Christ is making a point. The steward in the preceding parable went out and did certain things to prove that he was a just steward, that he was a fair steward, that he was an honest steward. And you have to understand the Orientalism behind it, but stewards had a lot of power, and they could make business decisions for their master, and they could loan, and they could make business contracts, and so on and so forth. So, and they many times would make a commission on those contracts, and they could enrich themselves. So here, Jesus Christ, after he goes through this whole thing, and this man attends to the details of his stewardship and proves that he is a just steward, Jesus Christ concludes, he that is faithful in least is faithful in much, meaning you have to be faithful in the little things to be faithful in the big things. You can't build a big building without a foundation, can you? Verse 11, it says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon being the physical, material things of the world. Now, you need a house, you need food, you need clothing, you need certain things, but when it's referring to mammon here, it's referring, you can't serve, you can't be a slave to, you can't be committed and dedicated. You have to be dedicated to God and allow God to prosper you, or you are committed to, you know, those things of the world. But the point is that you are to be faithful in the little things. Years ago, I remember going to New York with my wife and other times in the early 80s, 1980s, and New York was a horrible place, and you know, it was prostitutes all over the street and drug dealers, and nobody seemed to care, and there was graffiti everywhere and filth and dirt. And then I went back, I don't know, almost 30 years later, and it was clean, and there were no prostitutes, and you didn't see any graffiti, and there were no drug dealers on the streets. And it was amazing. But what happened or ensued in the preceding few years, Mayor Giuliani took over, and one of the things he did with his police commissioner is they decided to prosecute small crimes on the street. They didn't worry about, you know, the crime statistics of murder and rape and, you know, armed robbery, but they started to prosecute graffiti. People doing graffiti, they took the prostitutes off the street. You know, who do they hurt? Is, you know, the old saying. And they got the bums off the street, and they stopped people from doing drugs in the street, and so on and so forth. And soon, the crime rate for everything dropped. You know, because it was an attitude, and it affected everything. The little things affected the big things. It's just a principle in life. Little things affect the big things. When they built, I remember talking to some of the believers that worked at Limerick when they built the atomic generating station there. And they had to catalog every single nut and screw and bolt and everything. Had to document it and where it came from and who made it and where it was and all kinds of details in case anything went wrong, they could pinpoint things. It had to do with the details. Amazing. So the point is that sometimes we have a tendency to ignore the small things in our lives, and especially what we seem to think are insignificant things spiritually. But it's in the details of life that make a difference, that keep life moving ahead and allow us to receive the benefits from God in the big things. You know, what if a farmer didn't pay attention to the little details of how he planted his seed? He would probably have problems, wouldn't he? We have a God that loves us and wants to do his best for us. So we need to pay attention to the details. You know, does it make a difference that I'm faithful in my prayer and what I pray for every day? Well, it probably does. You know, it may seem like an insignificant thing or a small thing sometimes, or something that you could skip, but maybe it's not. How about reading the Word every day? You know, think about all the things that you spend time on every day. How much time do you spend in the preparation and eating of meals every day? Most of us probably too much. And we probably spend too much time thinking about how much we eat and what we eat. And yet, how much time do we spend reading God's Word and holding God's Word in our mind? Or how much time do we spend on watching television? Or listening to music, or the pursuit of music, or whatever. Entertainment, a much wider scope. Entertainment. How much time do we spend on entertainment? Probably a lot. Well, how much time do you spend with God and His Word? You know, it's a fair question to ask, isn't it? We all could probably improve in the ratio of how we spend our time on things that are irrelevant or unimportant as opposed to the things that are important. And that's what's going to make the difference in our life, whether we prosper or whether we don't. Let's go to Ephesians. See, we have a God that loves us and wants to bless us. And the only thing that holds him back from blessing us is
us.
How about that? Isn't that an amazing thing? You know, sometimes we just get faint in our minds, or we get lazy in our minds. In chapter 5 of Ephesians. And then by the same token, we also have an adversary, don't we? And the adversary is looking. And he doesn't just come along and hit you over the head, does he?
No.
But he kind of entices you away. He kind of, you know, presents to you something that looks like it would be fun and good, and or he kind of talks you into thinking, well, you can skip that, or yeah, that's not important, or don't worry about that, or so on and so forth. So here, chapter 5, verse 11, it says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." You know, there's a lot of unfruitful works of darkness out there. Some of them seemingly aren't unfruitful works of darkness until you really look into them and see what they're really all about. But you have to walk with God with those things, don't you? You have to think about what God, you know, what's the profit in certain things? What is the profit? Where is it? Is it taking me towards God or away from God? Is it increasing my walk with God, helping me with my walk with God? Or is it taking away from my walk with God? Da-da-da. That was kind of an exclamation point. Okay. Then it says in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. And where do we get light from?
The word.
Word of God. God is light, and his word is light. So to really determine what's right, you need the word of God. You need to filter things with the word of God. You need to shine the light of God's word upon things. Now, in some instances, in some cases, there are certain things that are always wrong. Stealing is always wrong, isn't it? Lying is always wrong. Getting drunk is always wrong. Things like that. Killing is wrong. Committing adultery is wrong. But there are some things in life, it depends on the person and it depends on the situation. Like, can I watch the football game this afternoon? I could. But if I really need to do something that's more important with God, or I need to take care of my family, or it takes me away from my responsibilities with God or my walk with God, then maybe I shouldn't. Then it could possibly be sin. You see, some people could do certain things and allow in their life. Some people can allow a glass of wine in their life. And some people should never take a drink of wine in their life. Right? Because some people it doesn't affect. Other people, it affects dramatically. It's just that that's a personal thing. And only you, well, not only you, but the first line of defense is you. You know, maybe somebody else will come along and tell you otherwise if you don't see it. But, you know, there are things like that. Then it says, so it says, things that are reproved are made manifest by light. Whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Does that mean that we're dead? No. Or does it mean that we're sleeping? It's figurative. It's to emphasize something. It's like an idiom. It means wake up. It means don't be like the dead unbeliever who is dead in sin, but be aware of what's going on around you in life. Be spiritually aware, awake, and Christ shall give thee light, because it's Christ in you, isn't it? Christ will give you light. If you're looking and aware and willing and ready to receive, Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools. What a great verse. To walk circumspectly means to walk accurately, carefully, precisely, diligently. And then it goes on to say, not as what?
Fools.
So if you don't walk circumspectly, if you don't walk carefully and precisely, you're walking as a fool would walk. How many of us want to be fools? We don't, do we? We don't want to be fools. We want to be wise, because then it says, but as wise. When you walk circumspectly, when you walk carefully, when you walk precisely, you're walking wisely. And we all want to be wise. Then it says, verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are evil in what respect? Correct. They're evil in that day. You only have one chance at every day. You only have one chance to live today. And after that day is gone, it's gone forever. You know, you can replace houses, you can replace clothes, you can replace money. You can replace almost anything in life, but you can't replace time. You can't live over. You know, every one of us at times, You know, I'd like another shot at something, you know? I'd really like to do something again. I'd like to try again at something. Well, you know, maybe if I didn't waste my time, I wouldn't think like that, would I? You know, and we all have those things in life that we'd like a do-over. You know, when you're a kid, you can call do-over when you play games. Well, in life, you can't play do-over most of the times. Very rarely do you get a second chance. But even if you do get a second chance, it's not the same as the first chance because it's later in your life. So what could have taken one time to do, now you've taken two times to do. So that's pretty interesting. Hold your place there and go back to Galatians 4. Galatians 4. It says in chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, being past tense, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption or the placing of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So that's how we're to live. We're to live as though we are, and as we are in reality, sons of God and heirs with Christ. We're heirs of God through Christ. So let's go back to Ephesians. So we are to walk circumspectly. And we're to redeem the time. We are free from bondage spiritually. You know, Jesus Christ paid the price to free us from bondage, from being servants. He freed us from the law. But we still have to walk circumspectly, don't we? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, verse 70, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're to walk circumspectly. We are set free and we can walk with God. God has put his Spirit within us. When we are not circumspect in our walk, we can foolishly waste the time, or we can be put in positions where it's difficult for God to bless us. And you know what happens when that happens? We get stressed. We get stressed. It's like a kid at school. I remember doing this more than once, where I'd screw around, and then I'd be faced with a paper or an exam, and I'd be stressed because I wasn't ready. Well, why wasn't I ready? Because I wasn't circumspect. I didn't prepare. I didn't pay attention. I didn't take care of details. I goofed off when I should have been studying, or when I should have been writing a paper, or when I should have been doing this or that. The battlefield is always in our minds. We determine which way to go. But it takes work and effort, doesn't it? It takes self-discipline. And that is the key, self-discipline, to learn to build that self-discipline in life to take care of details. Try to teach my kids. It's easier to be neat than sloppy. It takes 2 seconds to throw socks in the hamper or put clothes away than to throw everything on the floor and then it piles up for a week and then you got to take 3 hours to clean up what probably would have taken a total of 15 minutes to put away neatly. I do that on my desk sometimes. I let things pile up and they get lost, don't they? Lost something this week because I wasn't paying attention. So we need to build these things into our lives. We build this into our life. We build patterns. We build discipline. We do those things because it's a godly way to live. It's a godly way to live. And we build it in our thought patterns, in our speech patterns, in controlling our thoughts and emotions. All those things need to be taken care of and disciplined according to God's word. And then we put it into our daily lives. Let's go to Numbers. Numbers chapter 12. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house." Now, Moses was the servant of God. He was like the steward of God, wasn't he? He was a steward of God, to steward over, to take care of God's people, God's inheritance, basically. It says God's inheritance was his people. And Moses was the servant of God. He was the steward of God. And he watched over God's people. And he was faithful, meaning he took care of things day in and day out. Great example. "With him will I speak much, mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall be he behold. Wherefore, then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses." He's talking to Aaron and Miriam because they spoke against Moses. But what God says here, Moses is faithful, and because he's faithful, I speak to him mouth to mouth. You know, when you're not faithful, when you're not circumspect, when you're not taking care of things in life, it's kind of hard to hear God when he talks to you. You know, because you're stressed. When you're stressed, it's just hard to listen. It's hard to hear. You know, what in life is really worth getting stressed over? Not really as much as we make out. Because God is still our sufficiency, isn't he? God is still our Father. Sometimes we just need to put things in perspective. Verse 9. "And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them," Aaron and Miriam, "and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous," and so on and so forth. Poor thing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 3. And she was a prophetess.
She got healed then, right?
She did. She got healed. Just wanted to throw that in, huh? Okay, chapter 3 of Hebrews. So Moses was faithful. He was a most faithful man. He was the steward of God's people. He watched over God's people. He was the servant. And because he was faithful, God spoke to him mouth to mouth, face to face. Chapter 3, verse 1, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." You know, here it says, he is the apostle and high priest of our profession. Now, our profession doesn't mean a profession like we're professionals practicing law, medicine, engineering, teaching, but it means, you know, what we have professed, what we have said concerning Jesus Christ. He's the one we professed as our Lord and our Savior. That's our profession. "Who was faithful to him that appointed him." Jesus Christ was faithful to him, to God, who appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. So, you know, you think, well, yeah, Jesus Christ was faithful, but, you know, he was perfect. He was the Son of God. But he's compared to Moses. It's pretty amazing when you think about it. It's pretty amazing how faithful Moses must have been, that Jesus Christ was compared to Moses. "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing, the hope firm unto the end." So Moses was faithful, in all his house. He was a faithful man. Jesus Christ was faithful. He was compared to Moses in one point, and that was faithfulness. Faithfulness. What is faithfulness? Well, it's consistency in your believing and in your obedience to God. It's consistency every day, day in and day out. You know, you look at the book of, basically the book of Numbers is the 40 years or 38 years or 39 years of the 40 years in the wilderness, right? Well, how many things are talked about in that book? You got something that happened here in the beginning, and you got something else that happened, you got something else. But, you know, not every day is recorded, is it? And yet Moses was faithful for 40 years. Now, he didn't see miracles, and he didn't bring water out of the rock, and he didn't, you know, do all those miracles every single day. But he was faithful. And then when God was ready to do something, Moses was ready because he was faithful. You know, if we're not faithful when God's ready to move, we may not be ready. That's a terrible thought. I want to be ready when he's ready. I'm ready. I want to be ready every day because I don't know when my chance is to hear God and do something for God. And if I'm not faithful, I won't be ready. I'll miss the boat. You know, there are opportunities that come across probably everybody in life once in a while. You know, I told my son, Jeffrey, I don't know if I told Stevie or not, but I really believe there are two or three or four opportunities in life that, you know, really are great opportunities in work and career and business and in life. And sometimes, you know, you just have to be ready for those opportunities. And they may appear at the most unusual times. It's like meeting the person that you want to marry, you know. Sometimes you meet a person that you really like to marry, but it's not the right time. They're not ready or you're not ready. Well, it's, you know, it's the right person at the right time kind of thing. You're ready for that opportunity. You know, maybe there'll just be one person in your life. Who knows? That you really make that decision. I'm going to love this person and they're ready to be loved. And so they're ready and you're ready and you know, then it works. So we have to be ready with faithfulness with God all the time. We have to be ready to receive when he's ready. And if we're not faithful, he may have to move on to the next person. Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. And it's all in the details of life. Every day. You pay attention to God. You know, you get in the car and you thank God for protecting you. You go to school and you say, God, just show me what's true and what's not true. And when you go places, you just ask for God's protection so he takes care of you. You know, you just, God's got to be with you. Sometimes we get in the car and we forget about praying and asking God to protect us. I'm just running to Wawa. I've seen about 10 accidents at Wawa at the entrance since it's been there. You know, things like that, pulling out of your driveway. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, it says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You know, God has entrusted us with his word, and his word contains the mysteries, right? The things that he kept for us and revealed to us. And the first thing he requires of us is that we be found faithful. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31, verse 23. How many times have you seen somebody come to a fellowship new and they're all excited, like this is the greatest thing they've ever heard of in their life? and they can't contain themselves, and then you never see them again. That's not faithful, is it? Or somebody gets born again, they take a class, and they get healed. And then 2 years later, they don't even know that God exists anymore. It happens, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I've known people like that. I knew somebody who spoke in tongues, got born again, and then 5 years later, they had forgotten that they spoke in tongues. Didn't believe in it anymore. You know, that's not faithful, is it? You know, faithful. Speaking in tongues is perfect prayer to God. And yet we cannot speak in tongues as much as we ought to, can't we? Perfect prayer. Psalm 31, verse 23. Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. That's a pretty good verse, huh? Oh, love the Lord, all ye saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful. He preserves the faithful. And plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. God bless you. God, that's what he's looking for. He's looking for faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful because he wants to bless us. He wants to take care of us. He wants to do for us. But if we're not faithful, we tie his hands. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 28. Chapter 28 and verse 20. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. That should ring loud and clear, shouldn't it? A faithful man shall abound in blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Meaning, he won't do so well. Verse 26, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. If you walk wisely, what is walking wisely? Circumspectly, carefully, precisely. So he that is faithful in least is faithful in much. We need to be faithful in the little things. Just as much as the big things, you know? When we're faithful in the little things, God can work with us to bring about bigger things. Moses was faithful in all his house, and God spoke to him mouth to mouth. God did great things for Moses, but Moses for 40 years was faithful. Every single day, he was faithful. He was faithful to do what God called him to do. So God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us and blessing us, for what a great God you are, and that you can just help us and teach us to be more faithful, to walk circumspectly and be wise according to your word, that we don't trust in our own hearts, but that we look to you and that we discipline our hearts and minds and our emotions to be in alignment with your word, that we can be faithful in the little things so that you can bring us to the big things. And we thank you for this. In the wonderful name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen.